As we stand, let's just be still for a moment. I'm going to take us to Galilee in a moment, but let's be still. Lord, we've sung You Call Us Deeper Still. Help each one of us to heed Your call this morning to fish for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please do have a seat. We're on our last holy habit today, which is making more disciples. What exactly, I wonder, did Peter and his friends think when they responded to Jesus' call to follow Him on Galilee's shores? And also, after Jesus' death and resurrection, what exactly did they think was ahead for them? Well, this is northern Galilee. Those of you were sick and tired of me talking about Israel after I went the last time, but here are a few pictures of Israel. That's not one of mine. It's a proper picture. Northern Galilee, as it is, Bethsaida and other particular biblical towns around there. And here we have Tiberias on the west side of Galilee, very important town even today. And that's a fishing boat. But that's the first century fishing boat on the bottom left that they've discovered in the in Galilee itself, and they've preserved it. And maybe that was, it didn't say Peter's boat on it, but maybe it was a boat that Peter would have, similar boat to Peter would have fished in. That's not my picture, that's from space, you'll be surprised to know. And that's Galilee from space. It's good to just get a view of what it actually looks like. Tiberias being on the western side, and the northern bit that you can see up where Bethsaida and other towns particularly are. Here's a picture of what's been discovered by archaeologists in Galilee. You can see the bits sticking out into the middle are bits of port they discovered. It shows how busy a lake it was, a sea it was in Jesus' time. And one particular port on the on about 9 o'clock, if you're looking at it behind me, is Magdala. And that's part of the foundations they discovered at Magdala, which was considered to be a fishing port and where a lot of the fish were processed to be distributed around the country and further afield at that time. And we know Mary Magdalene, and particular commentators think that Mary Magdalene, prostitute or not, we don't know, but maybe in a working town that's an industrial town, maybe prostitutes would have been around. Who knows how it all ties up, but it's fascinating. And that's a musht, which is St. Peter's fish, which for those of you who have been to Israel, they're sort of served up for you, farmed very well and preserved as a fish, but they're the ones that you get to taste to eat. A quick run through of Israel, but hopefully, here we go. You might recognize that from things I've shared before, coming to it in just a moment. But the Christian life is following Jesus. And if you're a follower, you'll know that to be the case. And when we follow Jesus, we want to do what He does. And He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when we follow Him, that will, or should be, our passion. And I ask myself, is it mine? Is it ours? Fishing for people means bringing people to Jesus like the apostles did. And Jesus wants to use you wherever you are, whatever you already know already, to lead people to Him, into a relationship with Him, and for you to stay close to the Master Jesus too. And so through Inspiring Ipswich, which you see our main points on the screen, we're wanting to, in God's strength, to encourage about 1,500 people to come to know Jesus. We're looking at a town-wide alpha, ecumenical alpha, not just Church of England, next year, 2020. Our archdeacon has lots of plans, as you know, when you met her when she came here. But they are the headlines. But throughout it all, we're going to communicate good news, the good news of Jesus, and seek in God's strength to make new disciples. So, here are 5 fishing tips from somebody who isn't a fisherman, but I hope you can get the gist of where I'm going with this. Firstly, good fishermen go where the fish are located. That makes sense, doesn't it? But let me explain. You can't go fishing unless you go where the fish are found. And people without Jesus, as you'll know, aren't knocking on our doors to get in. We have to go out after them. That's why Jesus' great commission begins with the word, go. Max Lucado, a Christian writer from the States, wrote, Jesus wasn't crucified in a church building over a baptistry between an organ and a piano in front of a bunch of coats and ties. He was crucified on a cruel cross between two hardened criminals. He wasn't crucified in a nice neighborhood, but at a crossroads of the world so cosmopolitan that his crime had to be written in three languages. He died at the kind of place where thieves cursed and soldiers gambled. And that's where we need to take the gospel. Max's words, which I fully, and I hope you do, endorse. So good fishermen go where the fish are located. That makes sense, doesn't it? Secondly, good fishermen understand how fish behave. Now, I'm not a good fisherman, apart from a fishing net in rock pools at the seaside. But this makes sense. If we're going to reach people for Jesus, we have to understand the world out there. You don't have to become a fish to understand how a fish acts. So make friends with people who don't know Jesus and see where they're coming from and what God might be doing there with them. Jesus was a friend of sinners and spent his time eating and drinking with the worst of the worst of his day. So never forget that Jesus wasn't really talking about catching literally fish, but capturing people who are lost and bringing them into a saving relationship with himself. Now, some would say it's not politically correct today to talk about unbelievers dying and going to hell. But Jesus himself said he came to seek and to save those who are lost. So there is the explanation itself. Good fishermen go where fish are located. Good fishermen understand how fish behave. And hopefully, thirdly, good fishermen use a variety of strategies. Now, there are lots of ways to catch fish. As you saw on the video, you can have a fishing net and take it to Felixstowe with you. But there are lots of ways to catch fish and, I think, reaching out for people, winning them for Christ too. And good fishermen use a variety of methods. Different people need different approaches. And in the scriptures, it's been discovered that there are at least three different nets that were used by fishermen in Jesus' time, probably by Andrew, Peter, James, and John and the rest. So let's have a look at them, shall we? Firstly, the cast net was used by a single fisherman, either from the boat or from the shore. And it was circular. Look up Mark chapter 1, 16 to 28. Then we have something called the dragnet. About 1,000 feet long. You can see that probably from the picture, used by gangs of men on shore who supported those who went out in an ark and would arrive back at shore, and then they would all, as the name says, they would drag the net in to shore. Look at Matthew chapter 13, 47 to 48 for that. And then thirdly, there's something called the trammel net, which I mistakenly said a moment ago. Hung like a wall in the water, heavy and in sections of about 100 feet. It consisted of two large mesh nets with a fine net attached to it in between and held together by head and foot by ropes. Hope you can see it from the diagram. At night, men, mostly men in those days, would row out, deposit the net in a huge curve, and when ready, having got in, they jump into the center of the net, they make a noise, and the fish would try and swim out. getting away, getting entangled in those three nets. The net, because of its middle net, was liable to get damaged, collect weeds and etc., and all kinds of debris, and they needed careful repair. In the height of the season, this had to be done aboard the boat. Mark chapter 1, 19 and 20. Have a look at it there. And in our passage which Anne read to us, thank you Anne for that, the disciples were washing nets, notice. Clearly, I think, there, a trammel net. We can guess that fact, scholars tell us, because of the lowering and tearing of the nets, plural, and also the reference there to tearing. The middle net was liable, we're told, to tear under strain, as it was very fine linen. Three nets, not very well explained, but I hope you get the gist. So what can they tell us today? So three questions for us. Can those different kinds of nets tell us anything about our kind of evangelism? For example, the cast net right at the beginning is used by one person. There we have the one-to-one talking about Jesus, which most of us will get hopefully led into anyway. Think about those nets. And then I wonder, how are people like fish when you try to catch them for Jesus? What do they do? How do we react? And then on the other side of the coin, thinking about ourselves, does our faith like need tending like those fishermen's nets? I would say yes. I hope you would agree too. So three questions there for you to think about. But back to our headings. We have those three there. Fishermen go where the fish are located, understand how fish behave, use a variety of strategies, and then hopefully, fifthly there, good fishermen expect to catch fish. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Well, I hope you agree anyway. Good fishermen always expect to catch fish, even if they don't. Hands up if you've ever gone fishing and never caught anything. There you go, you see, it works. Thank you very much, even in a rock pool. When you're fishing, patience isn't just a virtue, it's a necessity. Not too many fish are going to think, oh, there's a boat, I'll jump into it. A fish is easily spooked and will try and get away. A person without Jesus may often resist and even possibly resent your attempt to share Jesus with them. But that's okay. Love them anyway and keep showing them God's love. Keep praying for them. George Muller of Bristol in the 1800s ran an orphanage that cared for over 100,000 children. He established over 100 schools and was a man of great faith. In his journal, he recorded that one day he started to pray for five of his friends to come to Christ, like these little bands that I gave out, five friends to come to Christ. After many months, one of them came to the Lord. 10 years later, two others were converted to Christ. It took 25 years before the fourth man was saved. He persevered in prayer until his death. He prayed for that fifth friend. He never gave hope over 52 years. He died at the age of 78, and it's recorded that at his funeral, that last man gave his life to Jesus. Five things I think we can be doing. Fifthly here is that one there. Good fishermen are patient if they don't catch fish immediately, just like George Muller was. We need patience too, don't we, as we seek to share the good news of Jesus. But if you don't ever go fishing, well, for sure, you're never going to catch a fish. Sometimes you go fishing and you don't catch a thing, but it's still good to go fishing, because where you go, the fish are going to be found. Someone once said, I read this, too many Christians are no longer fishers of men, but keepers of the aquarium. I thought that was quite interesting. And I came across this short parable, which I'm going to share with you. If you don't want to look at me, you can look at that lovely picture. A short parable called the Fishing Society. Once there was a group called the Fishing Society. They gathered every week to talk about the importance of fishing but they never fished. They decided to build a big new aquarium, so they pooled their money and built a sparkling new meeting hall they called the Aquarium Centre. Then they hired an expert, a doctor of fishology, to teach them from the fishing manual. Each week they gathered in their beautiful building and read portions from the fishing manual. The meetings ended with the experts dramatically casting a net in the large tank in the centre of the Aquarium Centre. The members rushed to the edge and were hoping some fish would be caught. None were ever caught, of course, because there were no fish in the tank. And this led to a disagreement among the members of the fishing society. Why weren't there fish in their beautiful aquarium? Some said specialisation was the answer, so they built smaller tanks, specially designed for fish of all ages and sizes, but still there were no fish. They bought the newest and most modern fishing equipment on the market. They elected numerous committees to operate the fishing society. They called them fishionaries. Those foreign fishionaries emailed pictures of themselves standing by the water holding their catches of fish. Over the years, some members of the fishing society forgot about fishing altogether. After all, there was plenty to keep themselves occupied in the aquarium. Some even suggested they change their name from the fishing society to the society. After all, they didn't want to offend the fish, did they? And one day a bearded stranger appeared at their aquarium and claimed to be the master fisherman. He extended his hands to ask the members to follow him out, and he would teach them how to catch fish with him. They noticed the man had ugly scars on his palms, probably from fishing, they thought, so nobody moved. As he turned to leave, he said, "If you never go fishing, you have no right to call yourself a fisherman. I'm going fishing, and if you aren't fishing, well, then you aren't following me." After their initial shock, the members of the fishing society resumed their busy activity of maintaining their beautiful hall. They were glad their beautiful hall had not been built in vain. If nothing else, it made them feel good about themselves. Well, you get the gist, I hope, of that little parable or image. And as we think about fishing, here they are, and there's some verses to go with them. Go where the fish are located. Understand how fish behave. Use a variety of strategies. Expect to catch fish. And be patient if we don't catch fish immediately. So where now? Making more disciples. That's our aim for Inspiring Ipswich. And it's an aim we're sharing with our brothers and sisters in other denominations. And heaven forbid that we become a fishing society with no fish in our midst. As we sit, let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord Jesus, thank you that your friends followed you. Help me, help us to do the same as we hear your call to be fishers of men, women, and children. Help us to have your courage and your strength at all times on our front lines wherever we find ourselves. Help us to go where the fish are and understand how they behave. Lord, give us different strategies as there were different nets in your day. Help us to expect to catch fish because you told us that the harvest is plentiful. And as we do that, give us, we pray, your patience. In Jesus' name. Amen.